gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Jeez, did that mosquito get back in here?
I intend to speak in support of defunding Obamacare until I am no longer able to stand.
Get the bug zapper. Okay, good. All right. Perfect. Seriously? Just that nasally, whiny voice.
Yeah.
Is he still talking?
He's still talking.
Noted douche nozzle, Senator Ted Cruz, is still talking. Despite it's actually a fake filibuster, as everyone has pointed out.
Well, yeah. You
it's
can't, not, okay, A, you
it is all about him yeah. being a self-involved douche nozzle.
You can't filibuster a spending bill.
Right.
A, first of all.
Right.
And
Harry
B,
Reid
the,
has already said he was scheduled, right. the vote is scheduled.
But the bill hasn't even been introduced into the Senate yet.
No.
So he's filibustering a
Nothing.
Bill that doesn't
right.
exist in the Senate yet.
Right. Here's what you missed. Nazis, green eggs, and ham. Yeah, Wonkette has the best headline. Ted Cruz has fake filibuster to create B-roll for his 2016 campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah, as would befit a guy that has a giant oil painting of himself in his office. This is just all about him.
Mm-hmm.
And it may, by the way, because of timing, take the country down with him. Honestly, might cause a shutdown because of the timing.
No, I believe the sergeant of arms is will.
Escort. Are they going to hustle him away like any mental patient?
He is to end talking at one o'clock.
Oh, he must end talking at 1 o'clock, and then he will be hustled into a special jacket and taken somewhere where he can rest.
He may need to pee. Who knows?
Right. Oh, dear God, I don't even want to think about that part of Ted Cruz's nose is weird enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Generalissimo Teodoro Cruz.
It does seem to get longer and longer, his nose. Maybe just with each lie he tells about
sure.
Obamacare. Oh, dear. Wonkette writes, we spent all yesterday afternoon and part of the evening listening to the nasally, whiny, pompous ass monkey from Texarkana, Ted Cruz, mount a fake filibuster about Obamacare. It was te-worst.
Tough worst.
Te-worst. There were several times when sharp objects had to be hurled from the chat cave lest we implode our ears, eyes, and any of our other sensory organs. We had to endure discussions about Cruz's father washing dishes, a few references to Nazi Germany, Natch, a weird tangent on White Castle, and the continued fact that Obamacare will strangle kittens in the nighttime.
Yeah, he went on and on about White Castle burgers, how good they were. I'm like, really? Your favorite hamburger is
see,
White Castle?
Yeah, right there. The fact that he didn't say In-N-Out means he's an idiot. Okay.
And they even have In-N-Out in Texas now.
Did you mention Tim Hortons donuts? Hey.
Gird your loins, come armed with plenty of alcohol, because we're about to walk you through the world's fakest, worstest, fakest filibusters, says Wonkette. Yeah, it was... I mean, the only thing I thought is literally that could end a hostage crisis, just to get that noise to stop. That mosquito that got back in the room. Wonkette writes, before we get to the lowlights of the fake filibuster, let me explain why this is not an actual filibuster. A filibuster is when a senator talks and talks and talks in order to delay a vote on a bill. In this case, Senator Reid has said that a vote will happen on the bill at a set time. So basically, Ted Cruz can talk or not talk, and it won't make any difference at all, except that by talking, he's making the entire chat cave drunker and drunker. so Wonkette takes us through it. So what did this humanoid ball sack talk about for 16 hours and counting? And then he broke the Nazi rule, Jim, which is normally your rule. Within the first 30 minutes, he brought up the Nazis. If you had less than 30 minutes in your office pool, you are a winner, Wonkette says.
What, did he say Nazis had health care? Is that what did...
Well, the health care came in the 1880s under Bismarck, long before there were Nazis.
Otto
right.
von.
Right. Yes. Anyone can see that's a very bright line, right? From, health care to Nazism. It's a very short... little hop and a
yeah,
jump.
He built the Autobahn, too. So I guess that makes Eisenhower a Nazi for building the interstate
right.
highway system.
Exactly.
Right.
The guy who actually liberated the concentration camps.
Right.
Unlike
oh.
Reagan, who just thought he had.
And you, like most Republicans, as you pointed out, Chris, irony deficient in that he chose green eggs and ham.
Right.
As his Dr. Seuss thing and green eggs and ham is about.
It's a parable about not liking something until you try it, and then you find out that you like it.
You mean like...
Interesting.
Affordable health care? You mean like affordable health care?
Yes.
Interesting.
Wow.
Don't be afraid of something new that you don't know. Oh, okay.
Actually, he likes the Grinch who stole health care.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Would you, could you on a boat?
Oh, God.
I would not, could not on a boat. I will not with a goat. I will not eat them in the rain. I will not eat them on a train. Not in the dark, on a tree.
So
not in a car. You let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I will not eat them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Oh,
really?
My God. Oh, he also said goodnight to his children, which, oh, you have that as well?
Yes.
Okay.
And I want to say to Caroline and Catherine,
oh, boy.
My angels, I love you with all my heart. It's bedtime. Give mommy a hug and a kiss.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Brush your teeth. Say your prayers. And daddy's going to be home soon to read to you in person.
Okay. Oh. I saw the time stamp when he said it's bedtime. The time stamp in the East Coast was 5:25. Which means it was 3:25 in Texas, where his kids are.
Really? They go to bed at 3:30 in the morning?
No, no.
Oh.
In the afternoon.
Oh, in the afternoon. Well, they do if Daddy says they do on television.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's a grandstanding, blowhard butthole.
My God.
I was thinking if I were those kids and I had to listen to that voice read to me. You want Daddy to read to you? No. It's
I think there's a lot of eye-rolling in the Cruz household.
Yeah. I could hear the sound of the eye rolling from here.
There are really kids in America that do not want to be read to by their... Oh, please, God.
I do not like them, Sam, I am.
The door slams. They're like, oh, God, please let Daddy not try to read to us tonight. His voice is so irritating.
I will not eat them in a boat. I will not eat them on a float. I will not eat them.
Who wants to hear Daddy read us?
We have a bug zapper today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Ow,
oh,
hey.
My kingdom for a bug zapper. Oh, I couldn't watch much of it. All right. Wonka takes us through some more of the fun facts of Ted Cruz's film.
Fun facts?
Cruz's father washed dishes to pay his way through college. Hooray for him. Cruz is worried that Obamacare will go back in time and destroy that dishwashing job, thereby ruining Ted Cruz's chances of being the first Canadian-American president and prime minister of the United States of America, Canada. God save the Queen. David Vitter came to the floor to ask a question. He was not accompanied by any hookers, despite the fact that everyone knows he used to boink hookers, hookers being women and men who exchange sexy time for monies, even with married men like David Vitter. Vitter asked a question, but all we heard was, I used to boink hookers and wear diapers. Cruz answered, but we didn't care about the answer because we were too busy trying to get the image of Vitter boinking hookers out of our minds.
Yeah.
Pro tip, bourbon helps with this. All right.
So Ted Cruz's dad was the only guy who washed dishes in college? Really?
I guess so.
I washed dishes in college.
Just like John Boner's the only one that's ever
worked
had a job.
At North Campus, I had to wash dishes.
I worked at Snow Oasis.
I can match your bad
Snow
jobs.
Snow Oasis? Well, that's a...
You didn't have to serve drinks in a kimono that you outgrew because you drank
too
many goldfish crackers.
Kimonos are Japanese.
It was
Fung
a kimono.
Was Chinese.
No, I know. They still make you wear a polyester kimono.
God.
Oh, and it was like a reddish color. Oh, it was disgusting. Anyway, my point
Did you
is,
wash dishes, though?
No.
Oh.
I served drinks, and I was such a bad waitress, I frequently got a quarter for a tip. That's a not-so-fun fact from my life.
Well, it was the 40s.
I was a 40s cocktail waitress.
Cigars, cigarettes.
Say, touch.
Oh, by the way, despite the fact that this is this lowbrow show, Donna Shalala will join us in about 15
minutes. Yes,
Donna Shalala. Former Health and Human
Services never been interviewed by Tom Brokaw, formerly of Mission IU.
Perhaps we will let Jim interview her as Tom Brokaw.
Oh, boy.
She's calling from the Clinton Global.
Did you see the report this morning that healthcare premiums are about 16% less than what they expected?
Which is why.
Oh, Ted!
Which
is
why Obamacare is such a disaster.
You could read about that.
I do not like lower premiums, Sam Iemiums.
Oh, boy. Lori in Madison on the douche nozzle filibuster. Hello, Lori.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I find not only is this a fake filibuster in terms of process, but I find it interesting. Usually someone does a filibuster to talk about what's wrong with a piece of legislation. He's spending all this time talking about nonsense that has nothing to do with articulating what he thinks is wrong with Obamacare.
But you know,
he can't articulate that.
Right. And, Laura, you know what the great thing is? He's finally, you know, done something that has united the country politically. Everyone hates him. Republicans
yes.
and Democrats. Did you hear all the Republicans yesterday? Because it's ridiculous what he's doing. Yeah, what do you say?
Peter King called him a fraud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, because he's trying to make them vote to block a bill that he's for. It makes no sense at all. He's saying if you if you vote for it, you're voting to fund Obamacare. I mean, it's just this whole thing is he's just twisting
vote
everybody.
Vote for against.
I think Mitch McConnell nearly made a facial expression. I think that turtle would like to just, turtle would like to eat that annoying fly.
I like flies.
Some more fun facts real quick from Wonkette on what happened. And Rand Paul made a special appearance because he, too, will run for Prezi in 2016 and didn't want to be left out of all the fun. He promised to bring Cruz candy, and we honestly care more about whether it was Snickers or a Butterfinger than whatever libertarian and Rand Cunnilingus bull...
What?
That spewed out of his mouth. I don't know how Cunnilingus got in there, but that's...
Apparently giving Ayn Rand.
Yes. Right.
Yes,
oh!
Yes,
oh!
That's, I think that's what the, yes.
Awesome.
Right.
Awesome. All of a sudden,
because
Cruz,
that's what libertarians often do.
All of a sudden, Cruz was blathering on about White Castle.
Yeah.
It made us want to smoke up and eat little burgers. We didn't know what it had to do with Obamacare, but it sure made us hungry. Oh my God. White Castle.
Was
really?
Kumar
really? Whatever.
Have you ever had a White Castle?
I don't know. Who would bother when there's an In-N-Out a block away?
Well, we don't have White Castle here.
Oh, really?
No. Chicago, then.
Yeah, they have Midwest.
Right, yes.
Yeah,
no,
Northeast.
I haven't. Okay.
Okay.
No. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Do not like green eggs and ham.
Get the book zapper, please. 22 minutes after the hour. Oh, dear God. Ted Cruz, still talking. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. When will this long national nightmare be over? Really? What time has Harry Reid scheduled to vote for again?
This afternoon.
Oh, God. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Can I just do it now? I think I just want to schedule a vote now.
God. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Sam in Jacksonville on Ted Cruz. Hello, Sam.
Hi, Stephanie and gang.
Hello.
The reason I think the Republicans are really mad at him is the polls had it that it was 50, I mean, it was like half and half Democrats and Republicans thought, I mean, people thought that the Democrats and Republicans were both equally responsible for this government shutdown.
Right.
Now it's perfectly clear, or it should be perfectly clear to the American people, that it's the Republicans who are
I said yesterday, and it gets clearer every day, terrorists could not dream of doing what the Republican Party. I mean, first of all, let's look at, like, the sequester is already in place. That is hurting America. This, if a shutdown happens, and then what's next? The debt ceiling.
Well, they hurt America
global
all the
financial
time.
Catastrophe. I mean, they couldn't, seriously. Nobody in Somalia could dream of this.
Well, between the sequester and everything else, the Republicans are really hurting this country. Not passing the jobs plan or anything.
I'll say. You know what? Just in case, I wanted to make sure that Newsbusters has already started recording. Republicans are terrorists. The end. Thank you.
Well, they're holding America hostage.
Economic terrorists.
Yes. Yes, they are. I mean, just... And this guy, I mean, clearly, it's all about him. Anyone can see that. It's just, it is so beyond, I mean, you're used to politicians being selfish or self-involved. That's beyond anything I've ever even seen. I mean, this is all about him running. And I'm going, really? That's your presidential candidate? Good. Go for it.
Oh, great. His qualifications to be president are questionable at best, too.
Okay, Wonkette brings us some more fun facts of the Ted Cruz fake filibuster. Cruz read a letter from his constituents. Apparently, every single person from Texas is afraid Obamacare will waterboard their family, so please repeal it. Because we are sure the good senator would never, ever cherry-pick letters for political gain. The whole time, Cruz kept blaming D.C. for the problems with Obamacare, apparently unaware that not one member of Congress is actually from Washington, D.C. Therefore, the problem is not D.C., but rather the rest of America, like Texas. We talked about his black sneakers for 5 minutes. I missed that.
Oh, come on.
Which is 5 minutes of our life we will never, ever get back. Jeff Sessions, the elfin senator from Alabama, poked his tiny head out of his tiny tree.
I got some more cookies to make. I'll be right with you.
He asked questions calling Obamacare a train wreck. Apparently, no one realizes the irony that in the event of an actual train wreck, health care like Obamacare would come in quite handy. Thank you, Wonkett. Hey, it's Florida's Marco Rubio. He looks thirsty.
He always looks thirsty.
And scared. Seriously, he keeps licking his lips. Maybe he's going in for a kiss. Nah, he's just talking about how America's the greatest. We're not looking forward to the 2016 GOP presidential debates, because if this is the preview, our lives are going to suck. Around 8 p.m. was where he read Green Eggs and Ham to his little angel daughters, who were at home watching Daddy on the Span, and attempted painfully to explain how it's pretty much just like Obamacare, because we don't need to try it to know we will not like it in a box with a fox or anywhere, proving once more that an Ivy League education does not mean you do reading comprehension good. We are a little disappointed he did not read aloud the Butter Battle book to explain why we should bomb Syria. At this point, Wonkett had more important things to do, mainly involving alcohol and a form of self-pleasuring that was legalized under Obamacare. Ooh. Thanks, Obama.
I didn't get that memo.
Yikes, yikes, yikes. Okay, Billy in Texas. Hi, Billy.
Hi, guys. Miss you all on TV.
Oh, heavens. We'll be back soon. Don't you worry.
Awesome. Listen, I'm very proud of Ted Cruz.
Good. You're the one. You're the one.
Oh, I don't think I'm the only one.
All right. You and Sarah Palin.
What?
You and Sarah Palin.
I'm with Sarah. Yeah.
And Sean Hannity.
You betcha.
You betcha.
You betcha. Anyway.
All right.
No, he's standing up for what most Texans believe, and that's going against this Marxist president.
Did you say sexist? Oh, Texans.
Texas.
I thought you said sexists. Okay.
Get the crap out of your ears.
Get the crap out of my ears. Wow, Billy, you're in a mood this morning.
Well, I don't mean to be, but I get tired of y'all mocking Ted Cruz.
The only ones. You can pretty much turn to any channel this morning, and they're mocking Ted Cruz.
So you're saying most Texans are against capitalism because what Obamacare does is pit private insurance companies against each other to bring down prices via competition.
The bold face lie.
Really?
Really?
What was the story that just came out this morning?
Actually, premiums have gone down 16% since Obamacare was announced.
I'm intimately familiar with insurance companies, how they work. The bottom line,
how is that? Why are you so intimate?
Well, I used
maybe
to cause,
maybe because you've been by one like most of us.
I used to administer employee benefit plans, and I know.
Of course, you did.
And but if you think that insurance companies are bad, wait till the unaccountable federal government. You're gone, right?
The federal government is not going to be administering a new insurance company. You do realize that, right?
There is no public option,
right.
Really.
A public option would have been nice.
Government, and we were talking about premiums this morning, like it's going to be cheaper. You're out of your mind.
16% cheaper, according 16. To a new Health and Human Services study.
Well, what do they know?
Oh. Get the crap out of your ears, Chris.
Marxist.
It's not Marxist. It's not run by the government. It's pitting private insurance companies against each other to bring down prices via competition.
Obama's not even a real liberal. He's not hardly a Marxist.
Exchanges are only going to be run by the government, ironically, in the states that are really anti-government.
Exactly.
Because they hate Obama more than... Okay, they want their states' rights or...
Whatever!
Yeah. Well, you know,
pro-states' rights Texas is going to have its program run by the federal government.
Billy was cranky for someone proud of that.
I used to administer Green Eggs and Ham.
That's weird. He just pulled that out of his ass. That's new. Really? Yeah. He just happened to be in insurance?
Or jester or whatever.
Right. Of course he did.
He likes to listen to both sides.
Okay. I wonder if that's his small business. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Donna Shalala next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have a working knowledge of the entire universe and everything it contains.
It is the...
Is that Ted Cruz again?
Oh, God. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What did Joe Scarborough say? It's not even...
It's not even inspiring narcissism. It's just like...
douchey.
Yeah, douchey narcissism. That's what it is.
Exactly. All right. Wow. By the way, did you notice the difference in our, let's just say, relative bench strength? There is Hillary Clinton yesterday introducing President Clinton and President Obama. It was like, you know, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. And then there's Ted Cruz on their side. Their bench is a little
thin.
A little thin over there for 2016. But Donna Shalala joins us now, former Health and Human Services Secretary under Bill Clinton.
That's right.
From the Clinton Global Initiative. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning.
What a tableau that was, Secretary Clinton and President Clinton and President Obama.
It was funny.
That was some good stuff. you know, it's interesting, though. That was like a masterclass in explaining affordable care yesterday, wasn't it?
It was, and it proves that it's really not that complicated.
Right. I mean, despite, you know, everybody's attempts to complicate it, I thought, what a dichotomy yesterday. There's Ted Cruz talking literally just nonsense. And all of these, you know, the greatest hits of these, you know, Republican lies and myths about Obamacare, right?
Well, they clearly haven't read the bill.
Right. And there is, you know, both of our you know, fine presidents explaining it. You know, they laid out all the law's benefits, its connection to the economy, and basically just dispelled one myth after another, I thought.
Exactly. You know, it's pretty straightforward. All we're trying to do is to offer health insurance to working people who don't now have health insurance. I think it's very important to point out that we're basically talking about people who get up every day and go to work and don't have access to affordable health insurance.
I love that President Obama has called President Clinton the explainer-in-chief. but, you know, it is interesting. I thought the president nailed it when he said, you know, there has been an unprecedented effort by conservatives to block it, then repeal it. Then what they're doing now is what he said is scaring Americans out of signing up for coverage. That's the best. I mean, they know this Ted Cruz thing isn't going to work. Right, Secretary? And so what they're trying to do is just scare enough people into not signing up for the exchanges, right?
And then pointing to the fact that they're scared as a reason to stop it. They also said yesterday that they thought that this extraordinary effort to try to stop it was because they knew it was going to work. And once people signed up, they would find that they have health insurance, and the last thing they were going to do was allow anyone to take it away from them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly right, because if this doesn't smack of desperation yesterday, watching Ted Cruz pursue something that's not even an actual filibuster that has Republicans just as angry at him as Democrats, right?
Exactly. You know, when Medicare came into effect, many of the doctors in the United States opposed it, so the president made it voluntary. Within a year, 90% of the doctors in the United States were taking Medicare because they had patients that had Medicare who they had been taking care of at discounted rates, and now there was a payer, and they took the money.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly right. I heard your fellow, you know, Clinton administration, Robert Reich, was saying that the other day. I think that's exactly what it is. It's sheer panic that they know this thing is going to work, and this is sort of, you know, their last-ditch desperation efforts.
Now, I don't want to suggest it's not going to be a little bumpy, because lots of people are going to try to sign up on October 1st. They're going to have to calculate what their subsidies will be. But for the most part, about half of those that are currently buying their own insurance on the individual market or are eligible for insurance really will get some kind of subsidy.
Right, and I think that's something that, you know, you can't say enough, and I think that because a lot of people, like you say, the Republicans are mostly taking advantage of something that is new, that, you know, and they're trying to further confuse people, right? And I think that the president, obviously, I know out here in Hollywood, people like Funny and Die, or, you know, some celebrities are also trying to help in terms of just educating people.
Well, you know, all of us know someone in our families or a friend who doesn't have health insurance. Those individuals are now going to be eligible to be able to purchase health insurance. For the most part, if their incomes, their family income is below $100,000, in many states they're going to get some kind of subsidies. But this is really for for people who don't have access to health insurance now. And as I indicated, they all work. We're not talking about people that are living off the dole or something. We're talking about people that get up every day and go to work and don't have access to health insurance. Many of them work part-time. I mean, you live in an area in which lots of people have part-time jobs.
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, you know, and just this morning, my producer, secretary, was saying that, you know, premiums are down. What's the...
16% according to a new Health and Human Services study.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And what's happened, what always happens when we're debating health care reform is that everybody keeps premiums down a little bit. I run a very large university. We insure 16,000, well, actually 22,000 lives. And our premiums haven't gone up very much in the last few years.
Yep. My favorite moment from yesterday was when Secretary Clinton introduced the presidents, and she said they have a long list of what they have in common. They're both left-handed, love golf, have fabulous daughters, and married way above themselves.
And by the way, they both admitted that she was absolutely right.
Did she happen to mention to you about whether she's running for president, Secretary? Just out of curiosity.
No, she didn't. I did have a brief chat with her, but she hasn't revealed that yet.
I was hoping I could.
Probably won't know for a year.
She was in the Oval Office with a tape measure, however.
No, she was not. I was trying to.
But she, of course, is passionate about making certain that Americans understand if they don't have health insurance, they are going to get access to affordable health insurance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, that was, you know, I'm sure they feel that very keenly, is, you know, having all this disinformation when they tried to get this done during the Clinton administration, right?
And, you know, the Clinton Global Initiative is a marvelous platform for talking about health insurance, because we're talking about health care for people all over the world.
Yep, absolutely. Well,
this country is the only industrialized country on earth that doesn't have comprehensive health insurance for all its citizens.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And much of the discussion here has been giving people, wherever they live, access to affordable health care. It helps our economy, and I think making the economic argument for this is very important. And the Clinton Global Initiative, time after time, people have gotten up and said, if our people are healthy, if they're well-educated, our economy is going to boom.
Secretary Shalala, it must be interesting. I guess interesting maybe not be the word, but, you know, having come from the Clinton administration where, you know, we all used to talk about Clinton derangement syndrome and the kind of, you know, the forces they were up against. I mean, as Health and Human Services Secretary, could you even envision where we are with this, I guess, Obama derangement syndrome, where they have voted to repeal a law 40-something times that the Supreme Court has upheld, that the president has won in two landslides now on this issue. I mean, and now you're witnessing what you're witnessing with Ted Cruz. I mean, what has happened to our country, I guess, in your opinion?
I don't know. It looks to me like elected officials are getting younger and younger. They sound more like my undergraduates.
Is there any way we can just flunk Ted Cruz out of the Senate, maybe? But, yeah, I mean, it just, I think, to me, the obstructionism is even worse than in the Clinton administration, don't you?
Well, I do. But, you know, it's, we make a joke about it, it's tragic. The idea of holding back health insurance from millions of Americans who get up every day, go to work, take care of their families is outrageous.
Right, and threatening to shut down the United States government over it. And then we have, even worse down the line, threatening to default on our debt. I mean, it's become just an obsession with Republicans, right?
It makes no sense at all to me. And in the end, the American people are going to recognize it for what it is. There are a group of people, elected officials, who literally want to get rid of government. Government does have a role. It has a role in making sure that everyone in our country has access to important services that cannot be provided by the private sector. Well, and it has a responsibility to our children and to our economic future.
Well,
and
I tell
we
you
need
something.
To move on.
Yeah, I tell you something, Secretary. When I watched Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and President Obama yesterday, and then I watched Ted Cruz, I thought, boy, let's have the election today, because if those are our two standards of leadership.
Please proceed, Governor.
Yeah, please proceed.
And, you know, it all doesn't have to be done by government. One of the things that the Clinton Global Initiative does is it builds partnerships with the private sector, with philanthropy, And, of course, the president has gotten, you know, thousands of commitments that have impacted, I think he said yesterday, more than 400 million lives in 180 countries.
Wow.
I mean, there are ways in which the private sector and governments can work together to improve people's lives. Obamacare is a perfect example. The health insurance is going to be delivered by the private sector, by private doctors, by private hospitals, many of them not for profits, but they are private. So all of our economy helps, particularly the health sector, but individuals will be able to step up and get insurance they cannot now afford.
Yep. I felt a reboost of energy watching the, you know, President Obama and President Clinton yesterday, because I think you're absolutely right, and we're watching the last grasps of desperation on the other side. So we appreciate you taking time to
thank you very much to
talk to us this morning. Thank you very much. There she goes, Donna Shalala, former Health and Human Services Secretary during the Clinton administration. So there.
She's kind of cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were afraid that she'd be too busy to show up, and then I would have to interview Jim in the role of a shillelagh.
I'm Donald Shillelagh, and I have a health plan. It involves beer and whiskey and corned hash.
I'm glad you waited until after she hung up to do that.
To do me interviewing a shillelagh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Fight the power. Is that what Ted Cruz is doing? Is he fighting the power?
No, yeah.
He's fighting the power.
Get the bug zapper. Where is my bug? Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mike in Austin says, Steph, Ted Cruz is singing the phrase of White Castle. There are no White Castles in Texas. Lauding White Castle and ignoring Whataburger is an impeachable offense in this state.
That is true.
Thank you, Mike. He's a douche even if people in Texas. White Castle.
I really like Whataburger. It's very good.
I have not had a Whataburger.
I also enjoy the Whata Chicken. They have a Whata Chicken sandwich.
Really?
Yes, they do.
Okay, good for them. Nicely done. All right. The president, we were just talking to Donna Shalala, and then I was talking to Jim playing a
Donna Shalala.
Just as backup in case you
I'll hit you upside the head, I will. I'm not even drunk yet.
Okay. She was calling from, of course, the Clinton Global Initiative, where I got to say, now that's a team. President Obama, President Clinton, Hillary Clinton yesterday, all on stage together. And then there's Ted Cruz. He's like the Washington General, and they're like the Harlem Globetrotters.
How you guys doing? Can I play? Can we? Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. The president yesterday.
A mom should not have to go bankrupt if her son or daughter gets sick. That a family who's dealing with a layoff and is already struggling to pay the bills shouldn't also be wondering whether they're one illness away from losing their home.
That's Marxism.
Mm-hmm. Clinton was acting as host. Did you see? And he was like throwing the questions.
Yeah.
And the president playing talk show guest.
If you were a tree.
No, he didn't ask that.
What kind of tree would you be?
No, here's what he said.
What I was terrified of was, you know, we'd open these things and there'd only be one company show up and bid, and this whole thing, we'd be having an academic conversation. Instead, it's actually led to the establishment of more companies doing more bidding. And I think part of it is they have greater confidence that they can deliver health care at a more modest cost. So far it's good. But I think it's important for you to tell the people why we're doing all this outreach, because this only works, for example, if young people show up.
Yeah. By the way, the president said, I don't have pride of authorship for this thing. No, Mitt Romney does.
Well, yes.
Thank you, Mitt.
There's that.
I just want the thing to work. He added he was confident Americans will be swayed by its advantages, even though polls show they're deeply wary of the law. I mean, the thing is, everybody is for every individual component. Mm-hmm. you know, it's just the boogeyman of, ooh, Obamacare that's been created. That,
right.
You know.
That's Marxism.
And he said the devil you know is always better than the devil you don't know. And that's why it's important to try new things, like green eggs and ham.
Yes.
Ironically.
Which is the point of the story.
Right. President Clinton also said the Supreme Court said that states could not be forced to take Medicaid money to finance the expansion of health coverage. And he said that's going to lead to a cruel result, as we're seeing in some Republican-led states. And there's nothing the president can do, and it's not his fault. That's what the Supreme Court said. And that's exactly what's happening, of course, in state by state. And by the way, the hour-long appearance took place around the 20th anniversary of Clinton's address to a joint session about arguing for health care back in his administration. So, yeah, I mean...
Hillary care.
Right, as they called it then.
Yes.
Hillary still loves that joke. That is hilarious.
If we ever get Hillary on, we are not going to play that
no,
for her.
Do not.
Okay, thank you.
I'll get her to do that on my own. I think she'll love the shillelagh bit, for instance.
Oh, of course she will.
The president yesterday said normally this would be pretty straightforward, but let's face it, it's been a little political, this whole Obamacare thing. Let's go to Jim in Long Beach. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, I think we need to expose the corporate fascist Tea Party that has infested the Republican Party for what it is. It's anti-American. It didn't work in Spain. It didn't work in Italy. We got to get rid of it here. I mean, basically, when government is so small you could drown it in a bathtub, it's just anti-American.
Yeah, I mean, they are inflicting wounds on America. First, it's the sequestration. Then if we have a shutdown, and then, you know, that's a warm-up for the
food
for the
safety.
Debt ceiling.
Who needs that? If another country did to America what the Republican Party is doing to America, we would go to war.
Yes, exactly. And Senator Butchmeup would be just beside himself.
Oh, it's about time.
He would vapor out.
Oh, another war. Oh, my stars.
Joe in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller.
I think I wet myself.
Okay, all right. Joe, hello, Joe. Oh, that's too bad.
Oh.
Joe's a troll, and I was looking forward to it if he didn't realize that he got to
turn your radio off.
Okay. All right. Quint in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Quint.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi, guys. I wanted to just say from Texas that the caller, Cruz, does not represent everybody in Texas. We do have people here that are sane.
You must be from Austin.
No, I'm actually from Houston, and I work for an insurance company, and I'm a Democrat, and I don't own a gun, you know.
Wow. Yikes.
Wow.
How come they ain't kicking you out?
I know. I'm looking over my shoulder right now. But we got so many people in Texas that are intelligent, and that we are really embarrassed by Cruz and by Perry. I mean, it's just insanity. You got to get more folks out there to vote so we can get these nuts to stop representing us. They're giving Texas a bad name, Everybody in Texas is not crazy.
I'm sure there were people like you with your head in your hands most of the day yesterday every time you turned the TV on.
Yes, it was very embarrassing. Yes,
Ted Cruz, does that sound more like a mosquito or a gnat to you? Now I'm thinking gnat is more. I just did that just for that because it makes me happy. Marianne in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Marianne.
Hello. How are you guys
good.
This morning? Love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for making me laugh with this horrible news every morning.
But, yeah, thank you.
I wanted to talk about insurance because my husband and I, we both have health insurance through his company, and we pay about $700 a month in health insurance to cover us in case anything bad happens. Well, 3 months ago, something bad did happen, and he fell, and he broke his leg.
Oh, my God.
So after everything's gone through insurance, after he's sitting on his butt, not able to work, not able to collect any money, we still have to pay out-of-pocket $5,000. A little more than probably with everything that's happened. And I just don't understand what the health insurance is exactly supposed to be covering. Yeah. Now, a couple weeks after he broke his leg, we had another friend break his leg almost in the exact same spot.
Wow.
He had absolutely no health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
He goes and gets some orthopedic surgeon and everything else. He's getting taken care of really well for not having health insurance. However, guess what he's paying out of pocket?
$5,000.
Oh.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
So what exactly is it that I am paying $700 a month for? I could have a brand new Cadillac for that.
Yeah. You're paying for their advertising.
Probably. And then they would call you a welfare queen and a Catholic.
Well.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Oh, Representative Alan Grayson coming up. Also, Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Hour number three.
It's the birthday edition because it's his birthday today.
I know it. My Libra boy. We will be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I wonder if they're going to do a new version of The Fly with Jeff Goldblum and Ted Cruz as the annoying fly. All right.
Help me, help me.
6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, the folks on our side are way more entertaining. Let's relive the Hurry Up and Die monologue.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
Good morning, Congressman Grayson.
Good morning. At least I'm not Canadian, right?
That is true.
And way more entertaining than Ted Cruz. Wow, how about that whole thing? Have you been watching?
No, No, the answer is no. I have more important things to do with my time.
You're doing actual work.
I refuse to get distracted by nonsensical, performance art like that. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and I love that. Here's Harry Reid yesterday, of course. There's no point in the whole thing in the first place.
We're going to vote tomorrow, regardless of what anyone says or does today.
So it's a fake filibuster, really.
It's a cry for help.
So what? Take us through this. How is this going to play out? Because he has Republicans just as incensed as Democrats, doesn't he?
Well, he's filibustering a bill that in its current form actually repeals Obamacare. So even though he's against Obamacare, is bent upon trying to get rid of it by hook or crook, he's preventing the Senate from acting on a bill that actually would eliminate it. That's confusing. I mean, who does he think he is, Miley Cyrus? It just doesn't make any sense.
Maybe,
and
you know what?
That's why everyone's fed up with him, Republicans, Democrats, and normal people.
He should have had a foam finger.
I was just going to say, Congressman, listen, there's still time in the filibuster. We could see some twerking and a giant styrofoam finger. One never knows. I love the Grayson chuckle. Now,
the proctological styrofoam finger.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes exactly. Yeah. So, take us through what happens here, because obviously there's a time thing that's going to happen. I mean, the money is going to run out Monday, right? In terms of
it's been pretty clear what's going to happen now for a long time, and it's happening. It's funny how that happens.
Yeah.
What we in the House of Representatives, we had to pass something because these bills for appropriations originate in the House of Representatives. So we had to pass something. We could have passed a ham and cheese sandwich and sent it over to the Senate. But it didn't matter what we passed. We passed a bill. The bill, unfortunately, maintains the sequester and also, unfortunately, eliminates Obamacare. The funding for Obamacare. We sent it over to the Senate. The Democrats are in control in the Senate. There's no stomach on the Republican side of the aisle to filibuster in order to shut down the government. They're going to take that bill. They're going to probably keep the sequester level spending, in other words, these cuts. And they will almost certainly eliminate the defunding of Obamacare. Then when they're done with that, they send it back to us. They're going to be sending it back to us at the very last minute. At that point, Boehner, our speaker, will either put it on the floor or he won't put it on the floor. If he refuses to put it on the floor, the government shuts down. That seems unlikely, since he said himself that he's against that. And if he does put on the floor, then it will pass with many Democratic and a few Republican votes. That's what's going to happen. It's been obvious for weeks now that that's what's going to happen.
Oh, so Cruz has already suggested a smaller bill that would threaten military funding if Obamacare isn't defeated. That's, I mean, literally the speculation is what he's going to suggest when this current plan fails, as it's going to, as you just said. I mean, is that possible?
Well, not in the world that we live in, maybe in some fantasy world of his. They just don't have the votes. They don't have the votes. They don't have the public support. They have nothing to work with here. Politics is a team sport. It's not simply a matter of what happens to enter Ted Cruz's brain at any particular moment in time or anyone else's. It's a question of what can actually get passed. And the Constitution says that we have to have only one-year spending bills, so every year we're going to go through this kind of gyration as long as the Tea Party is bent upon shutting down the government. They can produce such a bill, and then it will have to get voted down, and cooler heads will prevail. That's what's going to happen until we get rid of the illegitimate majority that the Republicans have in the House of Representatives. But in the meantime, since we have to have yearly spending bills, this is what you're going to see. It doesn't matter. I mean, Ted Cruz can say that we should bomb Damascus with marshmallows, and it just doesn't make any difference. He has no way to take his idle fantasies and make them reality.
Well, okay, let's take us through, because obviously the next thing is then the debt ceiling, which is even obviously more dangerous and literally could be global, financial catastrophe. What is that a real possibility that we're going to default on the debt after this whole?
It's a little bit harder to game that out right now because those bills don't have to originate in the House. So we may get to after you, Alphonse, after you, Gaston, type situation where the House may think the Senate's going to go first and the Senate may think the House is going to go first. But as soon as one or the other has voted, and my guess is it'll probably be the Senate, then there'll be a bill to extend the debt limit. And that bill will either have something else in it or it won't. If it has nothing else in it, then that's what the president wants. The president wants a clean increase in the debt limit. He says, we are morally obliged to pay our bills. It's not conditional. It's categorical. We have to pay our bills. So the Senate probably will produce a clean debt limit increase. That's what big business wants. That's what Wall Street wants. That's what the American people want. And there's enough corporate Republicans to combine with the Democrats to get that done in the Senate. Then it gets to the House. It's harder to predict what's going to happen there. The House probably will come up with some kind of bill even this week that ties the debt limit increase to something else, and nobody's quite sure what that something else is going to be. It's highly unlikely that these crazed, wild Tea Party Republicans are going to come up with anything that either the President or the Senate or the American people regards as constructive. So you might see the same thing happening. They try to push something on the American people that they don't want, like defunding all of Obamacare, and the Senate pushes back and says, no, let's do this in a clean manner, and then it comes down to whether Boehner will put that up for vote or not. Again, the signs are that he will. His corporate owners, the people who own Boehner, want him to do that. So we'll probably see the same scenario again in just a few weeks.
Did you ever think it would be this much fun coming back to the Congress? Aren't you glad you decided to do that?
I'm really happy. We're getting a lot done. It's surprising to me. Salon Magazine said a month ago that I'm the most effective member of Congress. We've gotten 13 amendments passed in the Republican-controlled House.
Wow.
We've got 33 amendments passed on my two committees. And I feel productive. I also am really pleased that we found our way to some reasonable solution in Syria that didn't involve a third Mideastern war. I feel like...
See, this is our makeup interview after our Syria fight.
Kiss and makeup.
The makeup
without
always...
the kissing.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we will keep checking in with you, because I know it just from our seats here, it just looks like, a slow-moving disaster. I mean, it's really it's tough to watch, and we'll see what happens, by Monday, right? But, I mean, it's do you think it is still reasonable that the government may shut down for even a short time?
I think it's really unlikely. I think there's a clear path to avoid that, and I don't see any impediment in that path. But, the real problem is just the way we've created the system. We need 218 members of the House, 51 or 60 members of the Senate, depending upon the situation, and the president to agree on laws. And we need such agreement at least once a year on appropriations bills. That's hard. That's a really hard thing to do. Other countries don't have that kind of difficulties. They have a parliament, majority rules. They have no difficulty in doing this kind of thing. So we've set up a system that is just naturally quite difficult, and particularly when you've got an illegitimate majority in one house like we have with the Republicans. The Democrats got more votes last year than the Republicans in the House races, and somehow the Republicans ended up with more congressmen.
Well, right, but, you know, Congressman, that's what I was just going to ask you about. You know, let's say, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with all this shutdown default and all of that stuff. I mean, with the gerrymandering, is there actually a chance, if there is enough public disgust, that we could take back the House? Or is that
no question, yeah. I mean, if we have the same votes that we got in 2008 when I was first elected, if we got that majority nationwide, we would take back the House. We have to win by 7 or 8 points nationwide because of the gerrymandering, because of the dirty money, the sewer money that they dredge up from the Koch brothers and others. We have to win nationally now by 7 just in order to get our natural majority in the House.
Yep.
But that's doable, and we actually exceeded that in 2008. And, you know, basically we're in a situation where one party actually is being constructive, trying to solve people's problems, trying to deal with education, housing, health, jobs, and so on. And the other party is a great big F you to the American people.
Yep.
And people understand that. They see that. They're waking up. And more it's difficult for the Republican lies to have any effect at all.
It's almost like they're coming to the conclusion that the Republicans' health care plan is just hurry up and die.
I've heard that before. Yeah, don't get sick. But if you do get sick, die quickly.
Yay! Free bird! Free bird! Everybody take your letters out. All right. We love you, Congressman Alan Grayson. Talk to you
Thank
soon.
You. I love you,
all
too.
All right, bye, honey. Aw. Aw, he's playing the hits.
He is.
Rockstar cheers. Perfect. Congressman Alan Grayson of the great state of Florida. Yahoo! Hurry up and die. Okay. All right. So lots more to get to. Oh, we have General Wesley Clark coming up next hour, along with Hal Sparks.
Yep.
Comedian extraordinaire, Hump Days with Hal. Lots of
Clark
show.
Clark and Sparks.
Right. Here we go. Clark and Sparks. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Steffi. Steffi.
Steffi. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. I am flying tomorrow.
You are?
To New York City going to for my birthday weekend. My birthday Sunday.
Yay.
Hooray. Oh, and Friday, live in studio, Shelley Wright, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Hot Bree, Melissa Fitzgerald, and also probably John Fugelsang. Have we heard yet?
We have heard. He can only call in.
All right.
Yes.
We will have a phonic Fridays with Fugelsang.
Yes.
All from the big, going to see some Broadway, stuff like that. Booze, dope, all that sort of stuff.
But Broadway does not go for booze and dope.
Oh, yeah, it does when I get there. All right.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood.
Yep.
So you come crawling back to Broadway.
Yes, I am.
Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
All right. All right. And I'll be doing the Ed Show on MSNBC Friday from New York.
Huh.
So there. Oh, and it's my birthday, so you know what that means.
What?
Audra in Minneapolis did a silly song for Mom.
Go, go,
yeah.
Go,
yeah.
Go, 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 Box wine. It's your birthday. We give a hoot.
It's your birthday.
It's your birthday.
You'll find her at home drinking box wine.
And that's okay.
Cause she's really quite fine. For 52 years old, she's got it going on.
Yeah.
Right, cause she spins all day long.
Check out her booty.
She can bend, kick, and stretch.
She can.
And she can party like the best.
Oh, yeah.
As long as she's in bed by 9.
Oh,
she's
9.
Gonna blow your mind.
Yeah.
Go,
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 go, go,
go, go,
go, go,
no,
go,
you go,
go,
you go,
go, go, go, go.
What is this spinning thing? I don't even know what the spinning thing is.
Yeah.
I think it's spinning wool?
Or what?
Spinning wool. Spinning? Sounds like fun. I want to spin.
you want to spin, baby?
Happy birthday, Stephanie.
Happy birthday, Stephanie.
All right.
That was
birthday.
Creepy.
Okay. Thanks, girls. Okay. Wow.
It's your birthday.
Wow. Hey, speaking of the comedy, remember yesterday we were talking about Senator Butch Me Up?
Uh-huh.
And you said he's like Blanche on Golden Girls, and I said, no, he's more like Blanche Dubois.
Yes, I said Blanche Devereaux on the Golden
Girls.
Right, yes.
And I said Blanche Dubois. Ah, Rocky Mountain Mike says, first segment on The Daily Show last night, Lindsey Graham is Blanche Dubois.
Huh.
And comparing the possible success of Obamacare to springtime for Hitler.
Where could they have gotten those ideas,
oh,
I
gosh,
wonder?
We cannot enjoy the unpaid homages enough. Thank you so much. Thank you. Ah, we don't need them. Oh, here's a listener comedy, Philip. Mm-hmm. Philip tweets, I do not like this Mr. Cruz. I do not like him on the news. I think he is a total snooze. I much prefer Obamacare. I hope to see it everywhere. Jim,
mm-hmm.
Who said Obama is the coolest guy I've ever met?
Kim Jong-un.
No, that was a bad guess. Justin Timberlake. Who's one of the coolest guys
is very
in the world,
cool guy. He's,
right?
He's seven cool guys.
Yeah, exactly. Wrapped into one. Let's see, Jim in Wisconsin. Hello, Jim.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Hi, I have a question about something. This filibustering is driving me crazy. It's the law of the land. We should just go with it. And, you know, it just drives me crazy. These people sit there and talk and talk and talk, and it's not going to get anywhere. I have one question.
You have a question, right? I feel a curveball coming.
Well, it's not really. I think it's only because it might affect me at some point in time, and I haven't read all the specifics.
Uh-huh.
The only thing that I think would make it easier for us to get people to get behind this is the thing that, like, I'm just wondering, like, I thought of this as of when I'm feeding I have two young kids, and whenever I try to get them to try something new, you know, I try it myself, they always say, well, Daddy, you try it, or something like that, and then I'll try it, and they'll think it's okay then to try it, and I just think if they would have had less of these exemptions, more people wouldn't have so many questions.
Well, most of the exemptions expire next year. They were just temporary exemptions in order for large companies to get everything up and rolling.
Oh, well, that's actually really good, because actually I was even wondering myself, I'm thinking to myself, well, why would they want an exemption if everything's going to, you know what I mean? Because
for larger companies, you know, because larger companies have more complicated
and
programs.
As the president said, when you roll any huge program out, there are going to be some kinks and things. But thanks for trying to slip in that talking point while seeming like you're a supporter of Obamacare.
That was deft.
The trolls are getting better. Tim in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
My question is, we love Medicare, and it rolled out, and it was successful because we had a simple way to sign up, and that was 1,300 Social Security offices nationwide. Everybody knows where that's at. Right now, the Social Security Administration has lost 10% of their staff. Every one of those 1,300 offices have 2 to 10 workstations empty. We should have navigators at each of those offices, so if you can't handle the Internet or the 800 number, you know one. I have no idea who to see in my community. Nobody knows.
What are you talking about? To get on the exchanges?
No, to get help. We're supposed to have navigators. They're hiring nonprofits like Commission on Aging, Community Actions. But,
right. That's just getting rolled out this week.
Right, but it's what you got. You're building in four layers of bureaucracy. The feds, the state nonprofits, and the local nonprofits. They should at least have one place in every community nationwide.
It's not four levels of bureaucracy.
What are you talking about, nonprofits?
Yeah.
The navigators in the local communities are going to be contracted with the state nonprofits.
Just go to healthcare.gov, and that answers most of your questions.
There you go. Okay.
But really, one website, people, healthcare.gov, answers your questions.
Okay. Senator Mitch McConnell, who looked like the turtle that wanted to eat that fly, Ted Cruz, buzzing around the Senate floor yesterday.
He can only afford to lose four Democrats, just four, if he wants to restore funding for Obamacare. So if five Senate Democrats vote against the majority leader,
that's going to happen.
Obamacare will be defunded.
Right.
That, Mr. President, is a vote we should have.
Right. Meanwhile, behind closed doors, he's talking about what a douche nozzle Ted Cruz is. It's like everybody else.
Exactly.
And working against him. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ironic.
Hey, don't talk about
Stephanie Miller
that way. She's not an iron.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, you had an answer for the latest troll gotcha game?
Right. Online too.
Well, the guy that already just called and talked about the exemptions.
Oh.
Trying to make it sound like, oh, how come I would like an exemption like everyone else has? It was, I remember this whole story, and it's a long legislative
basically, Senator Chuck Grassley was trying to bait Democrats with a politically motivated amendment. During the health care debate back in 2009, Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley offered an amendment that would, that congressional representatives and their staffs would have to get their insurance through the health insurance exchanges. This made little sense because the intent of the exchanges is to provide a means for individuals and small companies, not large employers, like the federal government, to get insurance. Well, the amendment was so small that the Democrats didn't take the bait and let the amendment slide through anyway.
Right.
So the only reason that the Senate and congressional staffs have this exemption is because of a Republican amendment that was trying to trick the Democrats. Mm. The Democrats didn't fall for it.
It's almost, you know, it's weird. It almost seems like they don't have Americans' best interests at heart. They're just, it's a whole politics and
what? Yeah. That's crazy.
Gawker brings us a what the is Ted Cruz doing, an explainer, some fun facts, just for those of y'all, all y'alls just tuning in. Is he still talking?
He's still talking.
The teeny tiny annoying fly.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Cruz right now is speaking in opposition to Obamacare until he's no longer able to stand. Who the is this guy and what the is he doing? It's a primer from Gawker. Hmm. Who is Ted Cruz? Ted Cruz is a freshman Republican senator from Texas. Prior to that, he was a hole at Harvard Law who refused to study with people who graduated from the minor Ivies.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He has argued the best way to defeat Obamacare was by passing legislation that would continue federal spending at the same level for 2.5 months, only if it included a provision that removed all funding for the president's health care plans. In other words, defund Obamacare will defund America. House Republicans agreed to do just that last Wednesday. Immediately after the Republicans announced their plan to take his advice, Cruz backtracked and admitted what reasonable people already knew, the bill will not pass in the Senate as it is. Basically, great job, guys. I appreciate your votes, which will make many of you vulnerable in future primaries, but now you're on your own. Sorry. So he abandoned them, more or less, which is why they all hate him. So what has the reaction been from Republicans in the House? And then it, among other things, criticism of Cruz's plan from Republicans who called it the dumbest idea ever. Dishonest, a temper tantrum, Box Canyon, and a suicide note. And that's just the Republicans.
Yeah.
And then I mentioned this to Alan Grayson. What stupid thing will Cruz suggest when this current plan fails? Cruz has already suggested a smaller bill that would threaten military funding if Obamacare isn't defeated. Is this getting anywhere close to treason with treasonberries?
Yeah, he's threatening
it's
our military.
Little, it smells a little treasonary.
Yeah.
Treasonary. A little bit.
Treasonary?
Treasonary? Treasony.
Sure.
With treasonberries.
Right. And treasonary. Let's see if Harry Reid is willing to shut down the military just because he wants to force Obamacare on the American people.
What?
Cruz said. Never mind the fact that the House has already passed multiple bills that will fund the military in the case of a government shutdown.
Right.
So even that idea is
dumb.
But who will fund the green eggs and ham?
Right. So why is Cruz doing this if it's clearly unrealistic and apparently a terrible political move because he's a grandstanding hole?
Yes.
But also possible because it endears him to the Republican Tea Party base, presuming it doesn't lead to a massive government shutdown that voters will rightfully blame on selfish political maneuvering by Republicans, in theory setting him up for a presidential run in 2016. That's all about him. As befits a man with a giant oil painting of himself in his office. Okay.
That's not a very efficient bug zapper.
No.
No. By the way, David...
It's only wounding him every time, unfortunately.
It's making his voice even higher and whinier. By the way, David Frum actually did write a piece, Can Ted Cruz Win by Losing? I mean, if this doesn't say something about the sad, pathetic state of the Republican Party, I don't know what does. A principled defeat today could lead to victory in 2016, writes... This is what principled defeat looks like? This kind of self-involved douche nozzlery? Really? Hmm. Okay. His handling of the defund Obamacare interplay between House and Senate is now almost universally derided by Republicans, perhaps even more than by Democrats. Suppose but he was talking about the voters, mm-hmm. like in Tea Party, whatever, Iowa. Suppose what they care about is the optics of a single conservative senator standing and fighting against President Obama and the Washington establishment. In that case, Ted Cruz may be having a better news cycle than Washington allows. Obviously, Ted Cruz is going to lose his confrontation over Obamacare. In losing, however, he will taint his possible rivals, including Rand Paul, as pitiful members of the Surrender Caucus. Only he will stand brave and true like Mel Gibson playing Braveheart. Oh, please.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's what this is all about. Freedom.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The Wall Street Journal calls his campaign kamikaze, but the art of political leadership includes a shrewd understanding of how to engineer the right political defeat for the right audience. Well, you know what? If he's their nominee, they got the the nominee they deserve.
Yep.
In 2016. And then, speaking of bugs, Hillary Clinton will crush him like a bug in 2016.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what the first debate will be like. Just that. Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Hello, Sue.
Good morning. You know what, Chris? Hey, Chris.
Hi.
I decided to put you to the test.
Okay.
I went to healthcare.gov because my hubby is on Medicare now that he's ripe old 65. I'm many years younger, so I don't know whether I'm going to stay with his old plan or whether I want to get my own because I'm self-employed.
Right.
Easy as pie if you have a functioning brain. It walks you through question by question by question.
Yep.
And then it refers you to your state question by question. And as October 1st, all the options become available and you get to research them. So here's your problem. None of the Tea Party people, especially people like Cubanady and Rafael Cruz, have functioning brains or critical thinking skills.
He's a Cubanian.
Therefore, they're unable to say, wow, here's the information I can read, because reading and comprehension, again, apparently, you know, all they have room
He didn't have very good reading comprehension on Green Eggs and Ham, which is about trying something new that maybe scares you, but you'll like it anyway, like healthcare.
You understand, I was a preschool person. Remember, you're
right.
Special parenting, 35 years of young children. When I heard that, I almost wet my pants, which is probably why I need a new medical policy. That's all other story.
Thank you, honey. Let's hear it again.
You know what? Rich wrote in and said, noted Canadian performance artist Ted Cruz.
Here he is again.
Would you, could you on a boat?
Oh, God.
I would not, could not on a boat. I will not with a goat. I will
it's the
not
most irritating
them in the rain.
Sound
I will
in the
not
world.
Eat them on a train. Not in the dark, not on a tree. Not in a car, you let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I will not eat them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. Mm-hmm. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. Mm. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. All right. Doug,
guess what? Green eggs and ham is constitutional.
Yeah.
Doug in
Omaha. Supreme Court says so.
Yeah. Hi, Doug.
Thanks for taking it. Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Why shouldn't these representatives and their staffers and congressmen have to live under the same law that we do?
Because Chuck Grassley tried to trick Democrats by slipping an amendment in. You should call Chuck Grassley's office about that.
The federal government is a large employer with a very good health benefits program. That's not what the exchanges are meant for. The exchanges are meant for individuals and small businesses.
Okay. So they don't have to follow the same rules we do.
Yes, call Republican Senator Chuck Grassley about why.
Yeah.
So he's the one that put that in.
They're the British version of our elite class, right?
No, they are a large employer like, you know, PepsiCo, like Exxon. They provide their own health insurance programs. Small business, this is put together for small businesses and individuals to get lower health insurance. Does that make sense? What do you mean, okay? Does that make sense to you, sir?
A little bit.
All right.
Okay, great.
All right.
Glad we could explain it to you.
All right. We're happy that we could help. Travis, get Chuck Grassley's number. He has the wrong number.
I'm trying to use the phone!
Okay.
What about the death panels?
Annie in New Mexico, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Annie.
I get to come on after him?
Yes.
Oh, good Lord.
Take it.
I am a mental health counselor here in Albuquerque.
We
so I interact with all kinds of people. I'm active in my community. And the only people who are complaining about the ACA are people with really good jobs, with really good health insurances, who will have no need for the
exactly.
ACA. All of the people that are jobless, you know, part-time jobs, they're thrilled. They're thrilled. So I don't know why the people that aren't going to need it are the ones complaining.
I know. And the other thing, Annie, I don't get is the whole, like, oh, we have to have health insurance. It's like, okay, so you're going to have health insurance.
Sure.
That will be nothing when you need it.
And it's not going to cost that much. If you do the research,
right,
it's going to be less, and you're going to get covered more.
Yeah, and it's just this, you know, this meme that, like, oh, we're just, we got to pay for all the slackers. We got to pay for their health. We are now.
Right.
The system is broken because so many people go to the emergency room for primary care. I mean, it's...
Well, and I've heard that a lot of the people who are opposed to this are people that are not primary care because it covers preventative care. So,
right,
of course, the person that's going to chop off a person's ankle because they have type 1 diabetes and hasn't been taking care of themselves because they don't have the money to, yeah, he's going to be mad.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly.
I have had you on since, I think, the first President Bush election when I was a wavering Republican and you swayed me over to the other end.
Oh,
so,
yay, stay in the light, stay in the light, stay in the light. We love you.
I have never called, but I hear you every single morning. I have the podcast, so thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yay.
Oh,
bye.
We love you, Annie. We especially love people that are smart enough to get the podcast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Absolutely.
$7.95 a month if you're afraid of commitment and you want to go month by month. That's fine. You'll commit to me eventually. Everyone does. Okay. By the way, if you would like some fun facts about what noted Canadian performance artist Ted Cruz is doing, it took me, as you always say, marinating this stuff.
We do.
It took me a while to understand the layers of stupid of what he's doing.
Yeah.
It sounds stupid on the surface.
It's a stupid lasagna.
Right.
It's deeply stupid.
Right. He's trying to preserve a House-passed bill that would defund the health care law while funding the government past September 30th. Cruz, however, has charted an unusual course, is what they're calling it.
I do not like health care.
Because he's worried that Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, will strip the language on Obamacare. Cruz is calling on his colleagues to block the House bill, even though he supports it. That's what he's actually... What now?
Wow.
But GOP leaders in the Senate were having none of it and are trying to short-circuit his plan to stall the bill. They are no doubt mindful of the narrow window all lawmakers have to act with a government shutdown looming October 1st if no deal is reached. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell threw a wrench into Cruz's approach earlier Monday, saying he will not vote to block the House bill because it defunds Obamacare and funds the government without increasing spending by a penny. Fox News has now learned that both McConnell and Minority Whip John Cornyn are actively working, swaying colleagues who may be on the fence. A well-placed source told Fox News that Cruz was caught off guard and very upset when he got wind of what was going on, feeling like he was being stabbed in the back.
Ow! Ow! Stop stabbing me in the back! Ow!
Speaking earlier on the Senate floor, he warned any member who votes to advance the bill will be voting to allow the majority leader to fund Obamacare. Try to get your mind around that pretzel. Okay, never mind.
Well, yeah, you know, if you're stabbed in the back, Obamacare will cover that.
That's right.
So, yeah.
He's basically telling them not to block the House vote, that he was the one that urged the House to take that vote to do this. So he's saying, don't let this bill advance, even though
I do not like it in a House. Right. I do not like it with a mouth.
And therein proves his grandstandery.
Yes.
Is that a word?
Holiness.
Yes.
Okay, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show this hour, brought to you by Carbonite. All right. The president, by the way, could there have been a better dichotomy yesterday? Noted douche nozzle, Senator Ted Cruz. Right. Okay. Oh, my God. And then the leader of the free world, President Obama at the UN, saying recent overtures from Iran on its nuclear program could start the United States and Iran down a long road towards a different relationship, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
What the?
I don't believe this difficult history can be overcome overnight. The suspicions run too deep. But I do believe that if we can resolve the issue of Iran's nuclear program, that can serve as a major step down a long road towards a different relationship.
Huh? Oh, dear God. Lindsey Graham is vaporing out as we speak.
Why are we bombing anybody? That's not very manly.
Plans were set Monday for the highest level engagement between the U.S. and Iran in more than 30 years.
I challenge Iran to a duel.
Mm-hmm. Don't you wish you could live in a day where you could challenge a country to a duel? Meetings between John Kerry and his counterpart, etc.
Yeah.
Very exciting. President
the
Obama.
Roadblocks may prove to be too great. But I firmly believe the diplomatic path must be tested.
This
and Iran's president said yesterday, the Holocaust may not have been such a good thing.
He sent a happy Rosh Hashanah tweet to the Jews.
Yeah.
What the hell is happening?
I think there are still some Jews in Iran. Most of them are in Westwood now. They came there in 1979.
Okay. Here's the Iranian
it's
president.
Like little Tehran.
Sari Jahan.
Yes to peace and no to war.
What is happening?
Is it a trick?
Yes.
I don't know that I can trust them as far as I can throw them.
And I think this was a poke in Putin's eye. In a speech at the UN, the president said America is exceptional and must stand up for the interests of all. Take that, Pootie.
Ow! Why are you pointing things in my eye? Ow!
He said, I believe America is exceptional in its ability to stand up for the interests of all. Any danger after an exhausting decade of war in the Muslim world, he said, is not that the U.S. will get more involved in building global peace. Sometimes... if necessary by acts of war, but that it will turn its back and create a vacuum of leadership. Obama said that right now he would focus on American efforts resolving the standoff with Iran over its nuclear program. He put a resolution of the incredibly intractable Arab-Israeli peace process at the top of his agenda as well. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that's when he'll get that. He'll leave that and the cure for cancer on his desk. Gangsta mic drop.
Boom.
Good night, everybody.
Done.
Good night.
Yo.
And then... Fox News will have all day to talk about why all that's bad and how his legacy is going to be a disaster.
Just appeasement. Hey, we haven't bombed anybody in months.
Let's go to Tom in L.A. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, go ahead.
I was just wondering, since noted Canadian performance artist Rafael Cruz spent so much time on the dais, why he didn't simply read any of the 3,000 pages of the document, which he says is so full of problems for America and is inscrutable to anybody because nobody had a chance to review the document. Wouldn't that have been a
yes, if it's such a scary story, why not get a flashlight and a blanket and tell us all the scary story? Read the real story of what's in a book. Oh, it's all good stuff?
Uh-oh.
Oh. Steve in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steve.
It needs to be pointed out with a guy like Ted Cruz that although he is a Rhodes Scholar, he burns bridges and has no idea how he is being perceived in the eyes of others, and that makes him socially inept. In other words, those parts of his brain that are responsible for social interaction are desperately lacking.
Uh-oh.
It appears that way. Let's go to Sharon in North Carolina. Hello, Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
This is... Sharon, the official plant lady of the Stephanie Miller Show. Okay, I wanted to correct you. The federal government employees still have to go and onto the exchange to buy their insurance.
Because of the Grassley Amendment.
Yes, they do. Well, the way you were leading people to believe that they don't, but the problem is, just like when you get your insurance through an employer, they pay part of your premium. What the Republicans are trying to do, they're trying to say, well, no, you know, we shouldn't be paying part of their... Claire McCaskill went over all this, and she said that, you know, like she has someone in her office that makes $30,000 a year, and basically, you know, they're saying to that woman, the government should not be paying part of your premium when an employer that offers you insurance pays part of your premium.
Yeah. Sorry, out of time here. We have General Wesley Clark, Hal Sparks next as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it do. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show
brought to you by Unity, a positive path for spiritual living. Are you more spiritual than religious? Unity offers practical spiritual teachings that empower meaningful living. Go to unity.org and click on Unity near you.
All right, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. This hour also brought to you by the official Stephanie Miller Show, Ted Cruz Bug Zapper. Do you have an annoying whine in your ears that's been there for, it seems like, hours and hours? Yep, Senator Cruz is still talking there on the Senate.
I intend to speak in support of defunding Obamacare until I am no longer able to stand.
Okay. By the way, I love the Houston Chronicle. T-Bone just pulled the front page of the Houston Chronicle this morning. Cruz's loud voice on Obamacare, and the next headline is Texans to have array of insurance options. Oh, no. Oh, that's too bad. Let's see. Residents of the Houston area and Texas will have dozens of insurance plans in which to choose from when marketplaces under the Affordable Care app open Tuesday, with the average monthly premium costing as little as $52 for a family of four.
Wow.
A report released Wednesday by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services give uninsured Houstonians in Texas the biggest glimpse into what they may pay for health coverage. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Oops.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Hey, guess what, everybody? It's Wednesday.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump days with Hal Sparks?
Yes! Yes!
Yeah. Yes, take your birthday spankings like a man.
Oh, well, I would like to take them on the floor of the Senate if I could. Is that wrong? I think it would be an absurd.
It's your birthday. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. It's Hal Sparks' birthday.
It's your birthday.
Happy birthday.
No, yeah, I don't drink. That song just kind of doesn't work on nine fronts for me, but I appreciate the effort. I really do.
What do you think of noted Canadian performance artist Ted Cruz?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just maybe past this prologue is too flinchy for me. But sorry, and a siren is going by. As often happens when I start talking politics. Hey, you know, whenever I see a Republican reading a children's book on television, it makes me very nervous. By the way, for the record, this is not the first time that Ted Cruz has spoken for 20 hours with no result whatsoever.
He may well be like the Andy Kaufman of the Republican Party at this point. I mean, it's hard to tell what's for real.
It's a piece of performance art, you know? It's more like Andy Griffith, because he comes across as kind of like a bit character on the old Andy Griffith show. I've come here to just kind of stand in a corner and make a little noise.
You look a bit like Pat Buttram.
Right, totally. You know, here's the thing that, you know, and some people have mentioned this, but Wendy Davis not only had to stay on topic, but she had to stand, she couldn't take a break for food or go to the bathroom, but he's just rambling, you know, telling stories about the time his father ran over his foot, which was fine, I guess, because they were in Canada and the treatment to fix it was free.
Right. Thank God, yeah.
Reading, you know, green eggs and ham, insisting that his father invented green eggs and ham, and I had to push Al Gore out of the way to use the internet to see if that was true.
Ted Geisel might have a thing or two to say about that.
A lot of people have said he looks like, it reminds him of Mr. Haney from Green Acres,
yes,
actually.
Yes, Pat Buttram.
Right, right.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, it's going to be really curious to watch what happens when the vote that has already been called, which is what a filibuster is for, is to stop a vote. But it doesn't matter because it's already been scheduled. Once that vote gets to the floor, he can keep talking. He literally could technically keep talking over in a corner. They'll just take his mic away while they do the other business and then give him the mic back so it can be recorded. Ferociously meaningless, and for what? To guarantee that people with pre-existing conditions can't get insurance. That's why this man is standing for 20 hours on the Senate floor. To guarantee that kids, as soon as they turn 21, get kicked off their parents' health care and just don't have any because they can't afford any until they're in, may baby in a job when they're 35, and just keep your fingers crossed and don't get sick, Alan Grayson style.
Yep.
That's what he's fighting for. He's not filibustering. He is just, it's like Philip Bluster. You know what I mean? There's no point to it. He's not going to stop anything. He's just making the case against people living longer.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. And all of it, discriminated against for pre-existing conditions. I mean, it just,
he's not taking the floor. He could, technically speaking, spend all of his time on the floor reading all the Republican bills that would replace Obamacare and improve it. But he can't, because there aren't any.
Yeah, exactly.
Read the collected works of Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, I mean, you got to say, if this is what the face of Republican leadership looks like, I guess good, right? I mean,
right. Well, he's the interesting thing is that he is was a he and Rubio were the 2016 hopefuls that everybody was like, oh, here it comes, this is going to be real this time, and in the last 3 weeks, both of them have gone down in flames. Now, yep. Rubio is no surprise because, quite frankly, a large swath of the Republican Party likes to put him up there as an example of their lack of racism, but would never vote for him because of their racism.
Right. And that's too bad. He seems
high popularity rating and no electability.
Ted Cruz is more like the ass of the GOP,
right?
Less than the face.
Marco Rubio does seem. It's too bad. He seems so thirsty for power.
They're necessary and useful for both walking and eliminating waste. Very functional. He's like the appendix of the Republican Party.
There you go.
And, you know, meanwhile, there's the president of the UN. That there's a dichotomy, right? He's talking about, a possible, peace with Iran. I mean, it's just like all of the stuff that's happening is it's their worst nightmare.
Oh, my God. Yes. I think it was yesterday, the regular kind of Chuck Todd-ish roundtable was saying, it's just a handshake they're looking at. There probably will be no meeting. I'd like to remind people that Glasnost actually, according to, anecdotal history, started with a handshake.
Right.
That whole story about how, I'm Ron, in the middle of the argument that both sides were having in the diplomatic meeting is supposedly what bonded him and Gorbachev and stopped the Cold War. And, if you believe the mythology. So they believe a handshake is bigger than just a handshake, except when Obama does it.
Right. Yeah, no, well, exactly right. And by the way, he also talked about Syria, which, I mean, it is amazing, when he has these stunning, in my opinion, diplomatic successes or breakthroughs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but it was an accident. It was all just Keystone cop stuff from the Obama administration. They accidentally made Russia on the hook for serious chemical weapons, and they accidentally won Syria signing the thing. Just an accident of word slippage that caused the Iranians to now be open to this. Yeah.
It'll just be more, as Bob Woodward calls it, just more dumb Obama luck. You know how he is.
Right, how high is Woodward? Do they have a breathalyzer on the set? Because that's amazing. Because he knows the machinations of politics. He should know better.
Yep. Here was the president yesterday, actually, at the UN on Syria.
Now there must be a strong Security Council resolution to verify that the Assad regime is keeping its commitments. And there must be consequences if they fail to do so.
Consequences?
Because
I didn't realize there'd be consequences.
What about my stapler? Hal?
Yes.
I mean, this is, and once again, of course, the UN report pretty much backed up everything the administration said that,
even Russia's admitting to it. I mean, Putin arguably, what it reminds me of? There's a scene in Fletch where Chevy Chase manages to get this woman to admit 9 details about where the bad guy is flying to, when he's going to get there, who he's traveling with, by appearing stupid. And there's an element of, it's not accidental like Clouseau. He does it on purpose. And there's an element of this moving the warships while at the same time saying we're open to a diplomatic solution and increasing, ratcheting up the pressure on Russia that They are, if you remember, there was a big push leading up to this that Russia is the supplier of weapons. They were getting nudged not just from us, but from the rest of the world because of our attention to it. That was directly from the president and the administration. And
yeah,
it ended up having the exact result you would want. You, of course, have to keep saying these. I can't right. figure out what the liberals or the lefties that we love and cherish so much would think is the alternative. Do you not send warships while you're trying the diplomatic option?
Well,
in this
yes,
situation?
Thank you. We just had one of
Talk
those, Alan, my good friend Alan Grayson on last hour, who, you know, I obviously love, but we, you know, respectfully disagreed on Syria. And I just think it is not, you know, particularly I think the, you know, I said this before, the interview he gave to Salon where he talked about, oh, you know, they have the internet, they can read, you know, the vote count. Like, you don't want to telegraph to Syria that, oh, don't worry, we don't have the president's back, we're not going to give him the authority to do anything, so go ahead and do whatever you want. I mean, it's like, I think that's just irresponsible.
It's called good cop, bad cop. And arguably, it's just, I think the Republicans are mad because the president got to play bad cop this time. It's usually their job.
Yeah.
The problem is they end up shooting the hostage and the guy they could get information from in the process.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the president again yesterday at the UN.
The United States of America is prepared to use all elements of our power, including military force, to secure our core interests in the region.
I mean, it's just, I think it's just ridiculous how to try to say, like, that someone's going to admit they have weapons they didn't even admit they had and decide to give them up just because.
Obama dumb luck again.
Just because.
It had nothing to do with the warships and the pressure and the asking for a boat to give them a legitimate time frame to know that. He said, I can do it anyways, even if I don't have the vote. And with the history of American presidents using cowboy diplomacy, the Russians and the Syrians actually had a fear that we might do something unhinged. Even as hinged as our president is, he could actually argue that, you know, maybe this building makes you lose your mind. And they could buy it. The reality is the sending of the warships, speaking directly to the Russians, and then saying to the American people, I think we need to do this. Everybody thought he was going to do it anyways. The American people who have the internet and can read the vote count believed the president was going to start bombing Friday night, then Sunday night, then Monday night. So, of course, the Syrians believed it because there are actually ships moving towards them. It was a well-executed strategy. David Korn made the case yesterday, the best strategist since LBJ, and it's a grown-up solution to a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It is very much like the Cuban Missile Crisis, actually. There are a lot of parallels.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And you can't take out one of the elements and expect it to work.
Right.
Yep, exactly. Happy birthday boy. We love you, Hal Sparks. See you
Thank
next.
Thank you.
It's
I love
your birthday.
My day with politics.
Yay!
Yay!
Nice to meet you, honey.
Bye.
19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim, who said Cruz also repeated over and over that Obamacare hasn't worked or that it's failed? Did Cruz carjack Marty McFly's gigawatt DeLorean and travel into the future when the law has actually been implemented? Obama apparently doesn't fully kick in until January 2014, so we have no choice but to wonder how Cruz knows Obamacare has failed. Seriously, if the senator's traveling through time and if he accidentally confronts his 2017 unemployed self and discovers that he badly lost his 2016 re-election campaign, it could significantly alter the president or create a paradox in the space-time continuum. Okay, I'm done with Back to the Future references, but it's difficult to be serious when discussing one of the most unserious senators in recent memory. Who said that?
Secretary of the Treasury, Jack Benny.
Oh, that was a good guess. No, Bob Seska, my future husband. Editor of the Daily Banter. By the way, he has some great fun facts, just more and more bad news coming out for Republicans, good news for America. Would you like the fun facts?
Sure.
And we were saying, sadly, for Ted Cruz, right next to the article, the headline in the Houston Chronicle of his douche nozzlery is all the good news for Texans, how low the rates are going to be and how many choices they're going to have. T and then a he. Bob writes, the following Obamacare premium calculations compiled by Kaiser Foundation, mm-hmm. highly respected, blah, 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 taking into, you know, into consideration Obamacare tax credits. These are real, for instance, this is what they're afraid of. This is the reality that Americans are going to confront when we get past all these lies and myths and fear-mongering and Nazis and Dr. Seuss and whatever.
Whatever.
Okay, if you're 25 years old living in L.A. and you earn around $28,000 per year, you'll only pay $140 a month for health insurance under Obamacare. If you're 40 living in Minnesota in the Twin Cities and you earn more than $45,000 a year, you receive the top-level platinum insurance plan for only $192 a month. If you're 40 years old living in Baltimore, Maryland, for instance, you earn around $28,000 a year. You only pay $110 per month for health insurance. If you're 40 living in Hartford, you earn around $28,000 a year. You'll only pay $97 a month for health insurance under Obamacare. If you're 60 living in D.C. and you earn around $28,000, you'll pay $29 a month for health insurance.
Not bad.
If you're 60 living in Hartford, you earn around $28,000 per year. You'll pay zero, nothing. For insurance under Obamacare. Additionally, you can't be turned down for insurance. There aren't any lifetime limits on coverage, and your insurance is totally portable, among other benefits. I think you get the idea. By the way, here's a little known fact. You won't have to wait until the April tax season to receive your tax credit subsidies. You can choose to either receive your subsidy in advance or as a refund. It's totally up to you.
Wow.
Why?
Choice. Tyranny.
Choice and freedom and... What? Okay.
Communism. Tyranny.
Plurn.
Death panels.
Audrey in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Audrey.
Hi, Steph. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I just want to say since 2010, I've been very proud to be the official debut novelist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Nice.
Hello now.
I have a question, and I almost feel a little stupid asking, but I have asked everybody else, and I haven't gotten anywhere. And in the interest of full disclosure, I have to say I'm a real proponent of single payer, so this bill doesn't go far enough for me. But that said, we have insurance through my husband's company. We pay a lot for it. They're a big company. The insurance absolutely sucks. So I've been very excited because, you know, under the theory that something is better than, you know, what we have now. But nobody is able to tell me the answer to something that you alluded to before with a previous caller. You said that all of these exceptions and exemptions...
Not all of them, most of them. Right.
Most of them.
Right.
Okay. Were temporary to let big companies have the time to change things up. Well, what we've been told since, you know, different pieces of the law have come to pass, and the only one that has applied to us is our daughter has been able to stay on our insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else has applied. And we've always been told it's because the company or the plan is grandfathered since we've had it since before 2010. Now, it bears absolutely no resemblance to the plan we had in 2010, but it is through the same company. Now they're self-insured. I've called Health and Human Services. I've called the State Insurance Board. I even emailed Wendell Potter trying to find out if any of these benefits are ever going to apply to us, and nobody knows. So
well,
I thought maybe you know.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the problem, and I think, Jackie, you probably heard her talk about this on the show, Audrey, is the problem is there's so much politically motivated stuff to just blame Obama and Obamacare when, you know, in certain cases, it's the insurance company, it's your employer. You know, I mean, Ted Cruz... It was interesting. Bob Seska made a great point, too, about Ted Cruz showing sympathy for these poor companies. They're not poor companies. There's companies that are screwing over their employees and blaming Obamacare.
Exactly.
And deciding, you know, whether it is, you know, to cut them to part-time or whatever. The blame does not belong on Obamacare. They're making record profits.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't worry, I'll teach you. I did 2 years of Cub Scouts before they found out I was a girl.
Because I look like an Armenian dude.
Yep.
With a unibrow. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Julie in Seattle wrote yesterday during the filibuster, the faux filibuster by Canadian performance artist Ted Cruz.
It's a faux-lerbuster.
Right. She said, are you watching this faux filibuster thing? My God, those hands, so expressive and elegant. He's like an interior decorator showing how the drapes will fall.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Oh, heavens. Okay.
That's a direct quote.
Exactly. By the way, in a totally unrelated story, in an interview on the Pray in Jesus' Name internet show, I'm sure y'all are fans.
Oh, that's
Colorado.
Good. Sure.
Yeah. State Senator Kent Lambert, Republican, said Democrats are using mind control to make people accept homosexual marriage. It's a mind control experiment by the majority party, the Democrats here in Colorado, to force everybody, including children in schools, everything else, under penalty of law, to believe in homosexual marriage.
Hmm.
Okay.
Whatever.
Pray in Jesus' name, internet.
All right.
Get it. Okay. By the way, oh, looky here. This is the report you were talking about, Chris. When uninsured Americans begin enrolling in Obamacare's new health care exchanges October 1st, the overwhelming majority, 95%.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost 100%.
Almost 100%, yeah. Very close.
We'll face health care premiums that are 16% lower on average than the government had previously projected. Oh, no. Oh, no, Ted Cruz. The news just gets betterer and betterer.
Damn it.
Not for you.
I hate that.
Obamacare exchange is ready to go in California and Rhode Island,
yep.
According to the biggest state and the teeny tiny.
You can drive from one corner to the opposite corner in 45 minutes.
You need an electron microscope to find it.
And as we've been pointing out, they are designed for people who are uninsured or who don't get health benefits from their jobs.
This is not going to affect about 95% of the people out
right,
there.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Here are the fun facts. We've been trying to get information out as much as we can. And by the way, as Jackie always says, healthcare.gov is a really good resource for questions. The open enrollment period for the exchanges runs from October 1st through the end of March for coverage that begins January 1st at the soonest. People seeking health insurance now required for most U.S. residents under the health care law's individual mandate will choose among different health plans based on price and benefits. So there's, gold and silver and platinum. You can choose the level of... Boy, it's so much choice.
I know.
So much freedom. It's like a Kotex commercial. But
and not a single one of these companies is government run.
Huh.
Tax credits are available to reduce the cost of health insurance for people whose income is up to four times the federal poverty level, or $45,960. Medicaid benefits will be available in about half the states, including California and Rhode Island, to people who earn up to 133% of the poverty level, or $15,282 for a single person. In the rest of the country, however, Medicaid won't be available to this population because their state governments refused to take up Obamacare's expansion of the program. Those states would be, what's the color I'm thinking of? Red.
Yeah.
Largely red, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Officials downplay the significance, by the way, of October 1st as a key deadline for Obamacare implementation since the changes will be open for many years to come. Mm-hmm. That's important to remember because they're going to be, they've been rooting for failure all along, so they're immediately like October 2nd. Oh, look, it's failed already. One expert said it's important as a historic marker of our nation, saying healthcare is now a right, not a privilege. We're building institutions that are going to be here for a long time. When we say October 1st is ready and go live, it doesn't mean it's done. It means it's a starting line. So keep that all in mind. All right. Dave in New Mexico, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave. Hello, Dave.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Here in Albuquerque, we have Blue Cross, Blue Shield, United, and, of course, Molina. One of the things I found interesting about all three is they're hiring. They're hiring like crazy. It looks like the average is going to be about 400 to each of them. So that means here in Albuquerque, we are going to have between at least a minimum of 1,000 and as much as 1,200 people employed. Can you imagine that, employing people?
Wow.
We should bring a stop to this. This is insane.
Wow. What's that all about with that Kenyan socialist? What is happening? Wow. Speaking of the actual Kenya, Kenyan president yesterday. The Kenyan president.
We have been badly hurt and feel great pain and loss. But we have been brave, united, and strong. Kenya has stared down evil and triumphed.
Oy, what a horrible story. Yeah. A lot of the details coming out about that most of these, you know, they said, oh, these executions were at Point Blank Range. I mean, you know, and what are the numbers? It's 68 people, something like that. Anyway, and then Minnesota, by the way, is obviously in the spotlight with this. Minnesota Somalis condemn Kenyan mall attack. The largest Somali population is in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But Minnesota imams and Somali communities gathered Monday to condemn the deadly terrorist attack as a heinous act that has no place in Islam. At least 22 young men have left Minnesota to join al-Shabaab since 2007. So, yeah. One of the leader, the Islamic leaders there said the perpetrators of this barbaric act do not share our Islamic values. In fact, extremist groups such as Al-Qaeda and its affiliate Al-Shabaab have done more to harm Islam and Muslims over the years. So, you know, obviously a lot of people in Minnesota horrified that some of these attackers may have been Americans from that area. So, all right. Oh, hey, did you see this story? Lynn Cheney told Alan Simpson to shut your mouth. They're a delightful family, aren't they? They are just delightful. So she's primarying Senator Mike Enzi, Liz Cheney is, a woman he once believed was his friend. And on Saturday, Lynn Cheney, the delightful wife of Dick, reportedly had some choice words for former Senator Alan Simpson and his support for Enzi. The revelation about Lynn Cheney's remarks came in a Facebook post by Deb Oakley Simpson, the senator's daughter-in-law.
Oh.
She said Lynn Cheney told Alan Simpson to shut your mouth and stop talking about supporting Enzi. The Cheney camp denied Deb Oakley Simpson's account of the conversation, but as we know, they come from a long line of
liars.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Liar! You're a liar!
In a follow-up post on Tuesday morning, Deb Oakley Simpson wrote, I just want to say I stand by my post as honest and straightforward. Despite what others are saying, it did happen, and I'm fascinated by people who won't own up to their actions. Or may, in fact, be, you know, lying.
You're a liar! Right. You're a liar! Right. You slimy, scumbag liar!
Exactly.
Liar! You damn liar!
Oh.
Ooh. Ed in New Mexico. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Ed.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, sir. Go ahead.
Good. I had a question. I was looking at the healthcare.com, .gov, and the plans look great. The only question that I had, let's say, you know, I had a meeting with my employees, and they were asking questions, so we're prepared in a few weeks. If I buy a basic plan for my family and I, and it's really, really cheap, and then, you know, I go to the doctor, and let's say somebody has some disease, cancer, this, that, or other. How do you upgrade? It looks like it's locked in. I mean, I don't see anywhere that you can upgrade.
With your employer's insurance plan, you can change your plan once a year.
Oh, once a year. Okay.
Yeah, like every employer.
Okay, I just didn't see that anywhere, and I you know, that's a big question for my employees. I have one employee that his wife's a diabetic, and the kids are not diagnosed yet, but if they get diagnosed later and all those costs go high, are they going to be able to upgrade their plan? So, good, you answered my question.
Well, yeah, once a year, but also, you know, I mean, that's the biggest thing, I think, is that people like that can no longer be discriminated against. They, you know, anybody will be able to get insurance, and then, as you were saying, you can pick. I mean, I don't know what they're calling them, right? Gold, platinum, silver.
Bronze is lowest, yeah.
Right, right. And so, that's exactly the way it is now. Okay.
Whatever fits your budget.
Exactly. Let's go to Jeannie in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jeannie.
Hello, Steph.
Hi.
An early happy birthday, and I don't want to give you any ideas since you're going to be 52, but I haven't heard many people talk about this point that I think is important, and that is that for those of us in our 50s who have worked hard for many years and saved enough money to retire for everything but health care, this now gives people the option of retiring before they're 65 and can get Medicare, which would open up jobs for many young people.
Wow. Yeah, I might get tired of telling the fart jokes at some point. That opens the door for some little DJ whippersnapper somewhere.
Wait a minute, that puts us out of a job and therefore us out of health care.
Well, you can work with the new whippersnapper.
Oh, God.
Whoever, the list shall be named later. Who wants to get up at...
At stupid o'clock.
Right. Ross in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ross.
Hi. I can answer the lady's question about her group health insurance and will Obamacare affect it. The answer basically is no. Obamacare was never designed to replace existing employer
right.
plans. You may not like your plan. It may not be that great. But we are trending to these part-time jobs.
But repeat after me, it is not the president's fault.
It is not the president's fault. This, the trend towards employers dropping insurance and changing insurance for high deductibles and high premiums from the employee has been going on for, it's a trend that's been going on for 20 years. So this is not a new problem. But Obamacare won't be the panacea to solve the whole problem, but to tell you the truth, I think we are going to step toward a single-payer plan in the future.
Yeah, well, exactly. Good. I mean, I was mentioning, Ross, that, what do you call it, Bob Seska's piece, and it's like rather than showing sympathy for these companies that are being jerks, and it's not the president's fault that your boss is a jerk.
Yeah.
He was a jerk before Obamacare. We should be shaming them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, literally you're going to cut somebody's hours just so you don't have to give them health care? Well, then you're a jerk.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't expect to get good employees. Victor in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Victor. Hello, Victor.
Oh,
hello.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I was listening to you talk about competitiveness to Medicare. And 5 years from now, when this is a success, the WingNuts won't be calling it Obamacare anymore.
Right, they'll be calling it Cruise Care, because it will always have been his idea. He'll just get back in the DeLorean.
Yeah.
And remember how I talked about this for hours on the Senate floor? Right. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Yes, yes. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, Keeper of the Funk. 50 minutes after the hour. Pardon me.
No. I had no idea that was our responsibility.
Yes, yes. Hey, here's something good.
I think there are more qualified people who can keep the funk.
I think so.
I'm not even good at that. I don't know if UCLA does this, Jim, but this is awesome. USC sends out a newsletter about all our fabulously successful graduates of the USC School of Dramatic Arts,
mm-hmm.
of which I am one,
mm-hmm.
class of 1983. All The Butler, written by Danny Strong, class of 96, starring Forrest Whitaker, class of 82, draws Oscar buzz. No mention in here anywhere of
Stephanie Miller. Well, we have Tim Robbins.
Yeah, exactly. No mention of
Stephanie Miller.
A little fart joke radio show. Huh?
The Walter Cronkite School at ASU has Al Michaels.
Huh? Al Michaels.
Oh, boy. Nothing. Nothing like reaching a birthday and realizing you're a total failure on every personal and professional
level. Yeah, my alumni right. newsletter makes no mention of me whatsoever.
Yeah, they just prefer that you didn't happen.
Probably not.
Chris Lavoie, noted button pusher.
Great.
Bill Shallert was also a UCLA theater grad.
Fabulous.
Back in the 40s.
All right. Hey, speaking of gamity, I love Andy Borowitz today. Republicans warn Iranian president against shaking Obama's hand. Republican leaders warned the newly elected Iranian president that they would frown on his shaking hands with President Obama at the UN. We welcome President Rouhani's moderate rhetoric, said Rand Paul, but those words are rendered hollow if he's willing to shake the hands of a notorious extremist.
What?
This is a joke.
Oh, okay.
It's Andy Borowitz.
Ah, all right.
But it could, that's how close it is to reality.
Yeah, it sounds just like
Senator
Sean
Ted Cruz said this is a man who has enslaved his people, saddling them with a health care law not of their choosing. The president of Iran should think twice before shaking hands with a man like that. Eric Cantor sounded a warning of his own. If the president of Iran wants to give the world the impression that he cares about human rights, he should be careful about cozying up to a despot who is continually trying to take away his people's assault rifles. We encourage Mr. Rouhani's wish that Iran join the community of civilized nations, said John Boehner, but first he must renounce Barack Obama. Okay, the funniest part of that is that Jim thought that was real. Because
well,
who can tell when you have noted Canadian performance artist Ted Cruz?
Right.
Or anything Sean Hannity says.
Right. Who can tell what's real and what's not? What the fox? By the way, Bill Clinton was on David Letterman. Did you see that?
And really?
Letterman tried his best to get him to say whether Hillary Clinton, of course, is running. He said, of course you know. Then he looked directly at Clinton and said, if she is running, to your knowledge, blink twice. Clinton laughed and stared back. His eyes appeared to water for a moment. He says he does not know what Hillary is going to do. Chelsea doesn't know what Hillary is going to do. And Hillary does not know what Hillary is going to do. All right. Come on.
Yeah, hey. She's running.
She's running.
I know. Well, and you know what? Who knows? With the way things are going, my dream may come true. We may have Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachman on.
God, wouldn't that be great?
One ticket. And then we could use the old movie poster from Dumber Dumber.
Oh, yeah.
Which is coming back. This
Dumb
is
and
very
Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber 2, spelled T-O.
T-O.
Yes. Yes.
With Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. Are they reuniting? And, on the sequel, Harry and Lloyd set off in search of their shared former flame, Freda Fletcher, cast and played by Kathleen Turner, after receiving a letter informing them that one of them is the father of her child and the child is in need of a kidney. What doesn't sound great about that?
And this is fresh off of Jeff Daniels' Emmy win for the
yes.
Newsroom.
I know.
What?
Which is equally awesome. Equally not awesome, in my opinion, the Miley Cyrus Rolling Stone cover. She's topless with her tongue out. Can we stop with the tongue out,
please.
Really? It is just the twerk queen on the cover.
Billy Ray must be so proud.
I think he's encouraging
seriously,
it.
Seriously, with the tongue thing. Have we not had enough?
I don't think he should be naked on the cover of the Rolling Stone. I think that'd be cool.
Would you like me to share some of her thoughts in Rolling Stone? I know you probably
thoughts?
Don't, but I'm going to.
She has thoughts?
On the MTV performance.
All right.
Said, honestly, that was our MTV version. We could have gone even further, but we didn't.
Wow.
Well, that was the tame version.
Okay. Alrighty then.
She was asked, why wasn't Thicke at Fall 2, Robin Thicke? She said, no one's talking about the man behind the ass. It was a lot of Miley twerks on Robin Thicke, but never Robin Thicke grinds on Miley. They're only talking about the one that bent over. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously there's a double standard. She was especially amused by criticism from Brooke Shields, who played Miley's mom on Hannah Montana, and called the VMA performance desperate. She said Brooke Shields was in a movie where she was a prostitute at age 12.
That's
right,
true.
But that was a movie where it's a fictional character. She wasn't playing herself.
She was playing a role.
Okay. All right. Okay. Arnold Schwarzenegger was photographed planning a big wet one.
Yeah.
And Heather Milligan, because this is his new girlfriend. After a romantic dinner in Santa Monica. Just the news, folks. Oh!
It's Milligan and the skipper, too.
Right.
The Milligan and his wife. And the movie star. And all of this.
Things of this nature. Right. Oh! Okay.
What?
This just gets better. The Clint Eastwood story.
Oh God.
I know what you're thinking.
Five or six flings. I don't know. I can't tell what's happening. Inside Clint Eastwood's wife's showdown with... Okay. Clint Eastwood's furious wife, Dina, caught the Dirty Harry actor cheating and confronted the other woman in an angry showdown, according to the Inquirer. That's the real story behind the bizarre wife swap situation that's unfolding among Clint, Dina, and her beau, Scott Fisher, and his ex-wife.
What?
Sources told the Inquirer that Dina caught Clint and Erica Tomlinson Fisher, Scott's ex, on their way to a room at the Mission Ranch Hotel, a romantic getaway that Clint owns in Carmel. The bitter confrontation took place last March. They're dating. Dean only hooked up with Scott after his estranged wife took up with Clint. So there's...
Right. Okay.
So that happened.
That's okay,
wow.
Then.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Carolyn in Ohio. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Carolyn.
Hi. I was just telling... Travis is so ridiculous. It's not even an election year here in Ohio, but we have been bombarded with these stupid commercials about, oh, I had cancer and my insurance was great and blah, 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 and I don't need to change it. And it's like, I'm screaming at the television, then don't change it. It's like, it's all about, oh, you know, they're against Obamacare. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's because, like, it's supposed to start next week that they're playing it, but you know, it's
yeah,
like,
I mean,
why?
It is over. The fight is over. The campaigns
exactly.
are over. The Supreme Court ruling is over. It's you know,
I don't get it. It's
yeah.
just, oh, it's so annoying.
It's
though.
People who
Thanks.
Watch Fox News
yep.
and think it's going to be shoved down their throats with
yep.
the death panels and the blah, 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 yada,
yep.
yada, yada.
Yep. Go ahead, dummies. Give more of your money to defund Obamacare
That's
movement.
Right.
Robert in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Robert.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, I just think that you guys are... You got a little bit of reality and fantasy going here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fantasy is that, you know, everything is free. It's all going to be free. And,
no.
and obviously,
nobody,
reality
no.
is
nobody has
somebody
said
has
that.
To pay
nobody,
nobody
said,
said
that.
That.
Right.
Nobody
no,
said
no,
that.
No, but that's what everybody talks about, free health care.
No, nobody
no.
talks about
nobody.
Free health care.
Nobody has
These
said
These are
free
private insurance companies that you're going to be paying premiums to. That's been clear
know,
from day
what,
one.
reality is I'm paying 20% more this year. I'm paying 30% more next year.
Well, Obamacare hasn't kicked in yet.
Ah, right. Thanks for checking in.
Yo, sir.
I just did a Miley tongue at him.
Yeah. Did you lick your shoulder like on the cover of Rolling Stone?
I'm going to send you a Ted Cruz bug zapper. That's what I'm going to do for that talking point. Okay. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.